Bring you up to speed if you're not aware. What's happening is there's a guy named Moses who's been commissioned by God to set the Hebrew slaves free from 400 years of Egyptian slavery. And Moses and this guy, Pharaoh, who is the leader of Egypt, are going back and forth. And Exodus chapter 8, verse 20, and it's going to be 12 verses, so follow along and pay close attention. It's a very important passage. It says this: "Then the Lord told Moses, 'Get up early in the morning and stand in Pharaoh's way as he goes down to the river. Say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so they can worship me. If you refuse, then I will send swarms of flies. It's gross on you, your officials, your people, and all the houses. The Egyptian homes will be filled with flies, and the ground will be covered with them by this time. But this time, I will spare the region of Goshen, where my people live. No flies will be found there. Then you will know that I am the Lord, and that I am present even in the heart of your land. I will make a clear distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will happen tomorrow.' And the Lord did just as he had said. A thick swarm of flies filled Pharaoh's palace and the houses of his officials. The whole land of Egypt was thrown into chaos by the flies. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron. 'All right, go ahead, offer sacrifices to your God,' he said, 'but do it here in this land.' Moses replied, 'That wouldn't be right. The Egyptians detest the sacrifices that we offer to the Lord our God. Look, if we offer sacrifices here, when the Egyptians can see us, they will stone us. We must take a 3-day trip into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, just as he commanded us.' 'All right, go ahead,' Pharaoh replied. 'I will let you go into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God. But don't go too far away. Now hurry and pray for me.' Moses answered, 'As soon as I leave you, I will pray to the Lord. And tomorrow, the swarms of flies will disappear from you and your officials and all your people. But I am warning you, don't lie to us again and refuse to let the people go to sacrifice the Lord.' So Moses left Pharaoh's palace and pleaded with the Lord to remove all the flies. And the Lord did as Moses asked and caused the swarms of flies to disappear from Pharaoh, his officials, his people. Not a single fly remained. But Pharaoh again became stubborn and refused to let the people go." No surprise there. No surprise there. We're jumping right in. Verse 23, God is saying, "I will make a clear distinction." Somebody say clear distinction. Okay, we're going to make a clear distinction between God's people and the Egyptians, between my people and your people. At this time, God is going to point out that the Hebrew people were not going to be permitted to be touched by these things. The Egyptians were going to have flies. The Hebrews were going to have no flies. The Hebrews lived in a section called Goshen. There were no flies in Goshen. I wonder what that looked like practically. If there's flies hovering all over the place, as far as you can see, but there's like this little clear area over in a certain side of town, the area of Goshen. That must have been interesting to look at. This area of Goshen was the original, wait for it, no fly zone. Sorry. I slightly apologize. I slightly apologize. The no-fly zone. The Fenway Park needed that the other night. Is there any distinction? The question I think should be asked in this moment is there any distinction between you and the people around you? There was distinction between the Hebrews and the Egyptians. There were those that followed God, those that were in a real sense, new to faith, even though they were Hebrew people, they were really returning to God. But there was a distinction between they and the Egyptians. I wonder today if there's a distinction between you and the people around you. Some of you here today, you profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. Not all of you, but a lot of you. And I think it's fair for you to ask yourself from time to time, is there a clear distinction between me and those around me that do not believe? Are you different? Or are you the same as those around you? Do you talk the same way? Do you think the same way? Do you spend money the same way? Do you get angry the same way? In the story here, God is creating a clear distinction between the believing Hebrews and the non-believing Egyptians. Throughout Scripture, we see these moments where God does this, where He creates distinctions between those that follow Him and those that do not follow Him. 2,000 years after this particular fly episode, there was another man who was wrestling with the exact same issue, this exact same distinction. His name was James, and he was a younger brother of Jesus. And he tried to put this distinction between believers and non-believers into print. I think he did a good job. He wrote this. He said, "Don't listen, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you." This is what James was thinking. What is the distinction between believer and non-believer? What is the distinction? What's the Goshen of his day to be like? And he nailed it. He had his four basic categories. Do what the Word of God says. Control your tongue, which is where we lose most people. Care for the orphan and widow. And don't get corrupted by the world. Four basic categories, big picture themes. Now, if you think about this for a moment, I'm going to try to illustrate this for you. The world out there is full of flies. The world out there is full of flies. There's flies in the world. But if you do this faith thing right, if you're following Jesus right, when you walk out into the world, the flies will be around you, but you will be in Goshen. And the flies will not be found in your place. Okay? There's going to be flies. You'll be able to see the flies, but they won't be in your space because you're in Goshen. You take Goshen with you wherever you go. It's like a spiritual force that is supposed to be ever expanding and expelling of the flies. So Goshen is not supposed to be static. It's supposed to expand and expand and expand and expand. That's the kingdom of God idea. And one of the ways to ensure that flies don't land in your space, that the flies of this world don't land in your life, is simply to continue to do what James said. Do what the Word of God says, control your tongue, care for the widows and orphans, and don't be corrupted by the world. Four basic themes. And don't forget this as well. Flies are not permitted to land in Goshen. They're not permitted there. So if there's a fly landing in your Goshen, something's wrong. Your Goshen has a crack in it. So here's the challenge today. Look at your neighbor. Just look at them right now. I'm going to have you say something to them. So just be comfortable with this. All right? All right? Tell them, check your flies. Check your flies. Check your flies. Go ahead. Say it. Check your flies. Not check your fly. That's something different. Okay? Check your flies. Check your flies. Okay. Listen. It's good to do a fly check every once in a while. If you got yourself some flies, then refer back to James. Do what the Word of God says. Control your tongue. Care for the orphans and widows. Don't get corrupted by the world. The last thing, don't get corrupted by the world, that means don't do the stupid stuff the world does. Last week we talked about these two magicians of the Pharaoh who said, this is the finger of God at work. They acknowledged that there was a God greater than their false gods. It was an interesting moment. And they're going to show up again in this account in the weeks ahead. But we noticed last week that they had recognized there was something different about the God of Israel. He was more powerful. It turns out these two guys have names. And we find them out later in the Bible. And their names are Yannes and Yambre. Yannes and Yambre. In fact, these two guys actually get some screen time in The Prince of Egypt, the movie The Prince of Egypt. And the comedian Steve Martin and Martin Short played these two guys. I don't know if that matters or anything, but I just thought it was interesting. Okay? Think about these two magicians. Magicians of Pharaoh. We find out later on that these two Egyptian magicians, when the Hebrew slaves are set free, they skip town and they go with the Israelites. They leave. They're like, I don't know what's going on in Egypt, but it's messed up. I like their God better than I like my gods. And they take off and they go out with the Israelites. In fact, many, many Egyptians would do this. Many Egyptians left with the Israelites. Many other slaves left with the Israelites. But these two guys did it. It's as if they were saying, we got too many flies over here. I want to go where there's no flies. And I think that's a real thing in life today. When you live your life in such a way that your Goshen is fly-free, people notice. People begin to recognize something is going on and I need to pay attention. I need to find out what it is that's leading their life and see if that will be able to lead my life as well. If you want to live your life with the benefits of Goshen, then you've got to live like you're from Goshen. You can't just live however you want. You got to live like you're a citizen. Clean living, God-honoring, wisdom-seeking, others-serving, sacrificially giving. These are all aspects of people that are from this Goshen we're talking about today. It's really an opportunity for you to do self-reflection. And so when I'm talking about check your flies, what that really means is self-reflect. Do a deep dive on who you are, what's going on, what really is making you tick, what are you involved in, who are you around, all of that stuff that's up for grabs. This is really about taking a look at the man in the mirror and asking him to change his ways. Take a look at yourself and make that change. I might have just used a Michael Jackson lyric. I don't know. I was halfway done typing and I'm like, I think that's Michael Jackson. Yeah. I am a child of the 80s. Live in such a way that you are able to be clearly distinguished as one who follows that Jesus. An early Christian leader named Paul encouraged others with these words. He said, you should imitate me as I imitate Christ. Basically, it was this really over-the-top statement where he's saying, I follow Jesus so closely that if you follow me, you will look like Jesus too. That's a pretty bold statement. But it's the kind of bold statement that we should all wish we could say of ourselves. If you have kids, if your kids did everything you do, would they be fly free? Or would they got so many flies on them? If your roommate began to model their life after you, would your roommate start to look like Jesus? That's what we're called to do, to live that closely to Jesus. If you wonder what it means to begin to be like Jesus, to look like Jesus, I encourage you today to begin an open and an honest conversation with Jesus today. Don't use my words, use your own words, but it would go something like this. Jesus, I've heard your name. I know that Christmas and Easter might have something to do with you too. But I don't know who you are. And I would really like to get to know you because I really need something that's real in my life. Now, however you're going to say that is up to you. But my challenge for you is start the conversation. Start the conversation. Jesus wants to get to know you. Start the conversation. Now back to the story before I say any more ridiculous Michael Jackson quotes. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron. All right, go ahead, offer sacrifices to your God. He said, but, somebody say but. But do it here in this land. Now, Pharaoh keeps acting like he's in charge. He keeps acting like he is giving the demands. Initially, it sounds okay. All right, go ahead. But then you're going to find out that he's going to try to cut a deal. And here's something, if you don't know, I need to make sure you learn today. When God gives a command, he does not compromise. If it's at command level, you simply must obey. There's no compromise. There's no, all right, go ahead, but do it over here. You see, compromise is something for humans and for spouses and relationships and for politicians. Compromise is not for your relationship with God. There are no negotiations with God. If God says, don't cross the line, then don't cross the line. If God says, stay here, don't move. Pharaoh is still trying to make a deal, still trying to be in charge. We've hit that theme over and over and over again. But how stubborn is this guy? How stubborn is this man? One might also ask the question, how stubborn are you? But think about this man. He's so stubborn. God warns him. He says, no thanks. Then he starts drinking water that's blood now. God warns him. He says, no thanks, or I'm going to do my own thing. Frogs come up out of the river and invade the entire land, jumping everywhere. Then gnats come up out of the dirt and infest the whole nation. And now flies are everywhere, up his nose and their ears and their mouth whenever they talk. They're everywhere. If there's an open space in their clothing, it's going to be up there. There's flies everywhere, except for Goshen. God, it turns out, and this might seem like a strange thing to say, but God has been very kind to Pharaoh. And yet, Pharaoh still refuses to accept the gift of kindness that God has given him. What is this kindness that God has given him? Maybe you missed that in this text. The kindness that God gave Pharaoh was twofold. It was the gift of annoyance and the gift of inconvenience. You see, when God gives you annoyance and when God gives you inconvenience, that's not a curse. It's a gift. It is a gift that is intended to assist you in coming to your senses once and for all. It's a gift when it comes from God. When it comes from God, it's a warning that your next steps are going to be very problematic. They may be devastating to you. They might bring destruction upon your life. They may even have deadly consequences. When annoyance and inconvenience come from God, it is a gift. So be careful what you curse. That annoyance might actually be a gift from God that is about to prevent you from doing that stupid thing you're about to do. So consider, if Pharaoh had considered more carefully, it would have been better for him. Verse 29 is this moment when Moses is talking to Pharaoh. And he says to him, but I am warning you. I am warning you, Pharaoh. Don't lie to us again. Now, this is new language. This is a new level of intensity. This is the line in the sand moment in the story that must be paid attention to. Before this moment, everything's annoying or inconvenient. It's not great. It's not the worst, but it's not the best. But this is a different moment. It turns out to be a foreshadowing moment. From this point on, the signs move from annoying and inconvenient to deadly, destructive, and damaging. The things that Pharaoh has used to cling to his power, wealth, prosperity, false gods, false religion, are all in process of being systematically dismantled right now. That Pharaoh is being given one chance after another, and he's rejecting each and every chance. And before we go any further in the story, I need to make sure we're all on the same page, or at least that you understand where I'm coming from. We live in a very chaotic world. If you've spent any time on this planet, you will know this is the most chaotic of places. There are conflicts and wars in every side of the world. There is poverty and destruction and disease and hatred and racism. There is all kinds of chaos and destruction in the world. It's full of disaster. It's full of horrible things. If we all had opportunity, we would, for the most part, live in houses or apartments or nice places. And we would do that because most of us don't prefer to live in the weather. We don't want to live outside completely exposed to the weather. Why? Because for most of us, the weather would kill us. We try to protect ourselves. Most of us, when we get into a car, we put on a seatbelt because it's just crazy to drive out there. Just crazy. What are we trying to do? We're trying to protect ourselves. What from? From the chaos of this world. From the unexpected disasters and destruction. But they're not unexpected. We all expect it. That's why we're trying to protect ourselves from it. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and a quarter days a year. Death, destruction, temptation, and chaos are trying to get loose and come after us. It's like those zombies in the zombie movies. You go walking by, minding your own business, they see you, and they go, woo, and they come right after you. Chaos is trying to come after you. So what do? We put up all of these protective elements in our life. We try to create safety. But there's something else that's going on that many people are unaware of, or maybe they've rejected. But here's a truth from the Bible. God is constantly at work on your behalf, fighting back the chaos of this world. This is very important for you to understand. Even before you were born, he was fighting for you. He's been at work aggressively pushing it back. But sometimes, because this world is so broken, sometimes that chaos breaks through. But more than just a breaking through, oftentimes we in fact ask God to stop protecting us. And most people would say, no, I've never asked God to stop protecting me. But we do it all the time. We do it in one of three ways. One way we do it is we just simply disobey God. We know what God wants us to do, and we don't do it. That's called disobedience. And this is practically what occurs whenever you disobey or whenever I disobey. God's pushing back the chaos of the world. God's trying to advance his kingdom. He invites us to join him in advancing his kingdom. And when we disobey, it requires God to remove his hand of protection in that area of our life. And it literally invites that chaos in. And now you got flies all up in your business. Another way we do this is through rebellion. We just decide, hey, God, I'm going to do my own thing. I'll do it my own way. I'll do it whatever way I want. And it's none of your business. And God is required to remove his hand of protection in that area of your life. And the flies keep landing. Other times it's just foolish living, or we're not paying attention and we get off track. But when we do, we are literally asking God to remove his hand of protection off of that area of our life. If you've ever wondered why I got so many flies, check yourself. One of the things we know from Scripture is that Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. He came to destroy the works of Satan. What that means, he's trying to bring things back into order. Where there's chaos and disorder, he's trying to bring order. We know that the role of all true believers is to advance the kingdom of God, partnering with him in the same thing. Making as much of this world as possible a no-fly zone. No flies. That would be the perfect situation. And so, when you're thinking about advancing the kingdom of God, turning the world into a no-fly zone, you're going to, from time to time, have confrontations with the enemy, and you're going to say to Satan, "Satan, this is a no-fly zone. You're not allowed in here." And this is what Satan's going to do back on the screen. Now, I thought it was funny. Maybe you don't. I'm sorry. Okay. So, you're going to say no-fly zone. He's just going to laugh at you. But then you've got to respond back. You have to take care of business. So you go get yourself some enormous fly swatter, and you start whacking some flies, okay? I thought about passing them out today, fly swatters and stuff. But in the Exodus account, one of the ways that you can look at this encounter with God and Pharaoh, and I really would like you to look at it this way. It'll help explain much of the rest of Exodus. Much of what's going on here is Pharaoh simply saying, "God, I don't want your help. God, I don't need you." We know that there are 10 plagues or 10 signs or 10 acts, a lot of ways to call it. But imagine, if you would, for a moment, imagine that God has two hands. And imagine it, in each of his hands, he has five fingers, just like we do. What if Pharaoh is saying in each of these 10 plagues, what if Pharaoh is just saying to God, "God, get out of here. Leave me alone. I don't need you." But what if he's saying it one finger at a time? He's saying, "God, I don't need you," and then water turns into blood. "God, I don't need you," and then frogs come up out of the Nile. "God, I don't need you," and then the dust turns into gnats. "God, I don't need you," and the flies show up everywhere. So far, the left hand hasn't been too bad. The problem is the right hand's coming. What if God has been pleading with Egypt and they just keep rejecting the offer, removing his protective hand off of their life, off of their nation? We know from Jesus that God sent Jesus into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. In other words, when you're looking back at Exodus through the lens of Jesus, it helps you to see that God is in the rescue business, not in the killing business. God is in the restoration business, not in the destruction business. And we see that through Jesus. In our lifetime, as the worship team comes up, there are definitely moments when God warns us. And these warnings are for your protection. These warnings are for your own good. Many people call these warnings rules, but they're really warnings. They are, in fact, words from a deeply loving and compassionate Father. And I know that's hard for many people to get their head around. But he's trying to help us. He's trying to keep the flies out of our space. A friend of mine once said, "This is how God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and that is why, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life." Of course, that friend's Jesus. If you didn't know this, Jesus invites you to have a whole and lasting life that is fly free. I don't know if this happens to you, but every day of my life, I get a ridiculous amount of friend requests on Facebook. I mean, I get so many friend requests on Facebook. Soon I'm going to have to open up one of those public profile accounts because Facebook will stop letting people friend me. But when people request me to be a friend, or however that is, I used to just click yeah, accept everybody. Then I realized, oh, you can't do that anymore. Right? There's all sorts of bad stuff out there and people doing weird stuff. So if I think it's a real human being and not a robot or not a scam or something, I'll look at the individual and I'll do just what you do. I'll start creeping on them. Okay? I'll just start creeping all over Facebook, making sure they're a real person, seeing what's up, seeing if I need to immediately unfollow them after I accept their friend request. But I would never do that, of course.
Yeah.
But imagine in your life, in the spiritual Facebook of life, I want you to imagine that Jesus is sending you a friend request. Inviting you into a whole and lasting life. The question today is, what do you do with that? What do you do when Jesus asks you to be his friend? Would you stand with me? Just do me a favor today. Would you cross the room front to back, left to right? Would you just close your eyes and bow your heads here today? Just think. God is inviting you into a whole and lasting life. He has no intention of destroying you, and he never has had that intention. What if it's true? What if Jesus has been fighting for you your whole life? What if he has been your friend the whole time and you just had no idea? What if a whole life, what if a lasting life is possible? What if freedom is real? What if you can really walk through this life, fly free? What if? So there you are, you're on your spiritual Facebook page. A friend request comes through. You have these two choices. You click accept or reject. Will you accept his request today? So I'm going to ask you, if you will. If you've never responded to that invitation from Jesus, if you've never accepted his request your life, if you want to today, like, Jesus, I accept that request. Would you just lift your hand up towards God and say, God, that's what I want to do today. Just go ahead, right where you're at. I see it. Put your hands down. For others of you today, you didn't really grasp it until right now that you've been, in fact, rejecting the protection of God in your life. You categorized it another way. Maybe it's time today for you to put yourself back in underneath the protection of God. Maybe there's some things you got to take care of. Maybe there's some stuff you got to give to God. Do it today. For others, you're just ready. You're ready to go. You can't wait to go on fly patrol, expand some territory, kicking compromise and complacency to the curb and living like the spiritually powerful warrior that God made you to be. It's time to suit up, get ready and go. Wherever you're at, let's take some time this afternoon. Talk to God. 2,000 years ago, on this day. Jesus came riding into town on a donkey, widely celebrated as the hope of the world, the hope of Israel. The people thought it meant one thing. He knew it meant another. They call this Holy Week because this is the week that Jesus gave his life for each and every one of us. This is the week that Jesus paid the price so that he could ask us if we would accept his request. If this is new to you, I encourage you to simply start the conversation with Jesus. You don't have to use fancy words. You just have to speak from your heart. It's like you're talking to another person. Let him know where you're at, what's going on. The truth is, he already knows. He'd still like you to tell him. The worship team will lead us in this song, as they do. Why don't you come on up? If you raised your hand earlier, or if you would like to spend some time in prayer, why don't you come on up and kneel down at the altar somewhere around here? Just find a place where you can talk to God today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, today, there's so many areas that we can surrender to you today. Lay them down one by one at your feet. Help us as we join forces with you in expanding your kingdom, trying to make this world a no-fly zone. Help us as we check for flies in our own life and look to the source to find out what's going on. Repent and find your forgiveness and wholeness. Help us to do what James said, to do what your word says. Control our tongues, to care for orphans and widows, and to not be corrupted by this world. Go with us today, both as we examine our life and as we walk in freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you all.